promises. Aren't you grateful that our God can be counted on? We discovered that if you are saved by the Savior, then you will be safe with the Savior forever. This morning, we're going to explore God's promise of answered prayer. A story is told about a widow who had several children, and every day she would go out on the porch and she would begin to pray with her hands raised in the air. She'd say, "Lord, you know I have no food to feed my children today. I'm asking that you would provide for our daily needs." Well, her next door neighbor happened to be an atheist. He did not believe in God, and he was tired of hearing her pray every day, and so he thought, "Well, I'm gonna teach this lady a lesson." So he went out and he bought some groceries and he put them on the woman's front porch and he rang the doorbell and then he hid behind the bushes. The widow came out, she saw the groceries and she burst into joyful praise. She said, "Thank you, God. God, you have met my needs, you've supplied for me. Thank you for answering my prayer. Bless the Lord, oh my soul." The atheist jumped out from behind the bush and he said, "Lady," he said, "God has not supplied your needs today. I have taken care of your needs. See how foolish it is for you to trust in a non-existent God?" And without hesitation, the woman began praying again. She said, "Dear God, you are so wonderful. You not only provided for my needs, but you got the devil to pay for it." So we've been learning these important truths about God. And what we know is that our God, he makes promises, and it is his nature to keep his promise. It's his nature to keep his word. God makes claims about himself, and then he gives us promises. And having trusted in his promises, you and I are to respond in faith. We are to be obedient to God's commands. I'm greatly challenged by the words of Charles Spurgeon, who said, "Prayer is nothing but taking God's promises to him and saying, 'Do as you have said.' When you plead his promise, then your will becomes his will." I came across Psalm 145, verse 13 in my Bible reading this week. The psalmist said, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all that he has made." And so our focus today is the promise of answered prayer. And the main point, the sermon in a sentence, is this: that God loves to answer prayer when we want what he wants. God loves to answer prayer when our will lines up with his will. In fact, say that with me this morning. God loves to answer prayer when we want what he wants. Our time this morning is going to be focused on Jeremiah chapter 33. It's a powerful prayer promise that God gives. Here the prophet records the promise of God. Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you did not know." One of the goals today is that each of us will have this verse memorized by the time that we are finished this morning. Let's say Jeremiah 33 together. Words are on the screen. "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you did not know." If we're going to grasp the greatness of this text, it's important that we understand the context. We know that Jeremiah was a prophet, which means that he was the mouthpiece of Almighty God. And Jeremiah was charged with delivering mostly bad news to God's people. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because of his many tears, but Jeremiah was bold. He was brave when communicating God's message. But due to the deliberate disobedience of God's people, and despite warning upon warning, God announced that the people of God would be punished by Babylon. Their land would be decimated. They would be deported to a pagan land. And in the midst of all of this mess, in Jeremiah 32, God gives Jeremiah hope by telling him that he is to go and buy some property. Now, it didn't make any sense to buy property when you're about to be overran by a foreign army, but that was the instruction, and I think it was God's way of giving hope to Jeremiah. It's God's way of promising that his people would one day return to their land, and they did, some 70 years later. Speaking to Judah, which was the southern kingdom, Jeremiah's message was not popular, and it wasn't popular because it wasn't positive. So with the Babylonian army surrounding the city of Jerusalem, in Jeremiah 32:3, the prophet conveys these heavy words from God: "Behold, I am going to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will take it." So church, you got to know that Babylon, they are on the brink of capturing the city of Jerusalem. And Zedekiah, the king of Judah, he is infuriated with Jeremiah's message. And so he has the prophet imprisoned. And as you read this book that bears his name, you'll discover that Jeremiah was also thrown into a well. He was put in chains and made a laughingstock. And while most of us have never experienced anything like this, some of us can relate to feeling isolated. We can relate to feeling trapped, maybe imprisoned by our past or chained to some present habits. But church, I've got to tell you that God loves to answer prayer. God loves to fulfill the promises that he gives to his people. Reminds me of the pastor who had a parrot. And the parrot, all that it could say is, let's pray, let's pray. And the preacher, he liked the spiritual nature of his feathered friend, but he tried to teach him other sayings, but nothing worked. And so the pastor remembered there was a deacon in the church, and the deacon had a parrot that said, let's kiss, let's kiss. And so the pastor convinced the deacon that the two parrots, they needed to be placed in the same cage and see what would happen. So once the two birds, they're in the same cage, the deacon's parrot immediately, he said, let's kiss, let's kiss. The preacher's parrot said, thank you, Lord, my prayers have been answered. So let's look at how God answers the prayers of his people. In Jeremiah 33, the first thing we learn is that we need to remember God's presence. Remember God's presence. Check out 33, verse 1. We're reminded that God is always present. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guard. So Jeremiah the prophet, he is confined. He is locked up. He is alone. No doubt he felt ignored and rejected and despised. But friend, no matter how alone you feel, I want you to know that if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are never alone. God is always with you. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. We're going to learn more about the promise of God's presence in a few weeks. It's one of the promises that we're going to look at in detail. But what I want you to know this morning and what Jeremiah tells us is that we need to remember that for those who are in Christ, we must remember that God is always with us. The next truth that we identify in Jeremiah 33 is that we are to reflect on God's power. God spoke into Jeremiah's isolation. He reminded the prophet of his incredible power. Look in verse 2. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to create it, he whose name is the Lord. Church, since God is the creator, we are assured that God can handle any catastrophe. He can handle any chaos that you and I are forced to go through. I mean, after all, God has founded us. He has formed us. He has fixed us. If we turn back one chapter to Jeremiah 32, verse 27, we read the powerful words from God. He said, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. And then he asked the question, is anything too hard for me? And the answer, church, is what? No, absolutely not. God invites us to call upon him in prayer. And he encourages us to call him by different names because each title of God reflects a different attribute of God. It helps us understand a little bit more about his power. And so let me share with you a few of the different names of God. And I would encourage you to incorporate these names into your times of prayer. When you are filled with anxiety, call out to Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace. When you are in need of healing, call out to Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. When you wonder if God has left you, call out to Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is here, and pray that he will give you assurance that you are never alone. When you need God's provision, call out to Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. It makes for an interesting study just to go through the scriptures and look at some of the different names of God. And as we focus on God's name and what those names represent, it reminds us of his promise, of his power. Friend, our God is a covenant-keeping God. He is the ultimate promise keeper. In fact, the name Jehovah, it is a pledge of fidelity. It is a pledge of faithfulness because our God fulfills all his promises. The thing about God is he always does what he says he will do. He never overpromises. He never underdelivers. And so in Jeremiah 33, we're instructed that we need to remember God's presence. We need to reflect on God's power. And a third truth is that we need to respond to God's promise. Because God is always present, because God is always powerful, he will keep his word. And in a world of broken promises, God can be counted on. I want us to break down Jeremiah 33, 3. And we're going to look at that into three different segments, three different parts. But before we do, let's say that verse again with a reference at the beginning and the end. I just want to make sure that we're getting this verse in our minds and in our hearts together. So let's say Jeremiah 33, 3 together. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33, 3. Now let's break that into three parts. The first part is that we are to call to God. We are to call out to him. Sometimes we make prayer more complicated than it should be. But at its very core, prayer is simply crying out to God. And God invites us. He says, call to me. That word call means to cry out, to call aloud, to roar. The word picture behind that is describes a baby bird that is crying out for food. You've seen a child in a nest, and they just keep crying out and crying out. That's what that word call to me represents. It speaks of a child who is in danger, and that child is crying out to help. Many have referred to Jeremiah 33:3 as God's phone number because we are invited to call him. Years ago, there was a movie that came out called Bruce Almighty, and the writers of that script gave God a phone number so that the lead character could call upon God anytime that he wanted. And many people saw that movie, and they wrote down the phone number. And so you know what they did? They went home and they dialed it. There's a lady in St. Petersburg, Florida, actually had that number, and she received 20 calls an hour from people who wanted to talk to God. Church, we need to dial in to God through prayer. There are all kinds of verses that urge us to call out to him. Let me quickly share with you just a couple. Psalm 86:3 says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So friend, when you call out to the Lord in prayer, you will find him. I think it's worth noting that prayer always begins with God's invitation. Prayer doesn't begin with our troubled condition, but God invites us. He extends an invitation for you and for me to call upon him in prayer. But as natural as that should be, even Jeremiah had to be commanded to call out to the Lord. For some reason, you and I tend to resist reaching out to God, even when we're going through tough times. I suppose we're a lot like Jonah. Jonah, instead of crying out to God for help, he said, I'm going below deck and I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to take a nap. But we need a wake-up call like Jonah received from the ship's captain. The captain said, how can you sleep? Jonah, get up and call on your God. Church, our own sleepiness, as well as our spiritual enemy, they fight to keep us from crying out to God in prayer. I think about the disciples, how they couldn't keep their eyes open when Jesus was in the garden. Jesus said this in Matthew 26:41. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I think it goes without saying, James 4:2. A stark reminder, James said this. He said, you do not have because you do not what? You do not ask God. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Church, I've discovered that God's giving, it is inseparably connected with our asking. In fact, did you know that there are more commands in Scripture that call us to pray, that call us to call upon God than anything else that we're instructed to do in God's Word? He wants us as believers to call upon him. The second part of Jeremiah 33:3 is that we are to catch God's answers. After calling on the Lord in prayer, we need to be ready. We need to catch his answers. God went on in verse 3. He says, call to me and I will answer you. Friend, our God, he is never preoccupied. Our God, he is never too busy. He's never away from the phone when we call out to him in prayer. But instead, our God promises to answer. Psalm 4:3, the psalmist said, the Lord will hear when I call to him. And the scriptures, they're full of examples of God faithfully answering the prayers of his people. In Genesis, God provided a son to Abraham, even in his old age. Genesis 21:2 says, so Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. In 1 Kings 18, God answered Elijah's prayer for fire. Elijah prayed and said, answer me, Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. God responded to the prayer of David, a prayer for freedom of fear. In Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. God answered the prayer of Solomon. In 2 Chronicles, Solomon prayed. He says, God, give me wisdom and give me knowledge so that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart and you didn't ask for riches or wealth or honor or the life of those who hate you, nor did you even ask for long life, but you've asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, so that you can rule over my people, whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, but I will also give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor will those who will come after you. So we see in Scripture example after example of God answering prayer. But church, if we were honest, we would say that sometimes it seems like our prayers don't get answered. Sometimes we cry out to God and it doesn't seem like God is doing anything whatsoever. One pastor offered some great perspective on prayer. He said, if the request is wrong, God says no. He said, if the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, and if the timing is right and you are right, then God says go, and he moves. Before we leave this point, we need to understand that the Bible does put some conditions on God answering prayer. Let me provide you a few of these conditions. Don't have time really to go into great detail developing them, but let me just mention some of these conditions that we find in God's Word. The first condition to answer prayer is to make sure that you are a follower of Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, until you have believed in Christ, until you have received his gift of eternal life, then friend, his promises will not be accessible to you. A second condition to answered prayer is to ask according to God's will. In Matthew 6, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God loves to answer prayer as long as we want what he wants. He loves to answer prayer when what we desire is what he desires, when our will matches his. So make sure that you're a follower of Christ. Ask according to God's will, and then confess all known sin in your life. Psalm 66, David acknowledged, he said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, then the Lord would not have listened. So we've got to come before God with a clean heart. We need to listen to God's word. Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. Also, we need to live in peace with our spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. We also know that we need to forgive those who have wronged us. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Another condition to answered prayer is to make sure that your motives are pure. Make sure your motives are right. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Another condition is we need to stay close to Christ. John 15, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So we need to remain. We need to abide in Christ. Another condition is that we need to be willing to share with the poor. Proverbs 21 verse 13 says, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and will not be answered. So we need to be willing to help those who are in need. Let's say Jeremiah 33, 3 together again. Say this with me. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So as we continue breaking down God's promise in Jeremiah 33, 3, we need to call out to God. We need to catch his answers. And then the third thing we understand is that we are to comprehend God's greatness. Church, when we call out to him in prayer and we catch God's answers, we need to expect the unexpected. I love how God goes way beyond what we ask for. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things which you did not know. That word tell means to make known something that was previously hidden. The word great means fortified, far away. Listen, when we call out to God and we experience his answers, we are often overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God as God draws near and he reveals things that we did not previously understand. And I've discovered that God's provisions, his provisions are always much greater than our problems. God's blessings always exceed my burdens. Paul spoke of this very thing. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul said, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We don't have time to go through all of Jeremiah 33, but let me just hit some highlights of some of the great and mighty things that we find in this chapter. God gives Jeremiah promise after promise, trying to instill with him hope. In Jeremiah 33, 6, God promises, I will bring healing and give abundant peace to my people. In verse 7, God promises, I will bring my people back to the land. In verse 8, God promises, I will cleanse them and forgive their sin. In verse 11, there will be sounds of joy and gladness again. In verse 12, there will be pastures for the flocks. God promises in verse 14 and 15, I will raise up my righteous branch from the throne of David. And God promises in verse 26, I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them. I want us to look specifically at verses 14 and 15. Because these verses speak of the coming of Christ, which I believe is the ultimate promise. Jeremiah 33 verse 14. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch of David sprout, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. Now, church, we know that Jesus was righteous. And we know that those who are redeemed, those who have been bought by the blood of Christ, that we too are made righteous in Christ. Friend, if you have not received Christ as Lord and Savior, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord, then now is the time for you to do so. And I believe there is urgency in receiving Christ. Because friend, one day it's going to be too late. And that is a promise from God. Because God is patient, he is giving you time right now, time to decide to turn from your sin, time for you to follow his ways. But listen, if you are ready to receive God's promise of forgiveness, if you're ready to receive eternal life, then right where you are, I urge you to confess your need to Christ. You just say to him, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I have fallen short. And today I repent. I turn away from the way that I've been living. Jesus, I want you to take control of my life. Jesus, I want you to make things new within me. From this day forward, I want you to be first in my life. By faith, I turn from my sin. I surrender my life to you. As followers of Christ, we are grateful for God's promise of answered prayer. And so we need to call out to God. And we need to catch his answers. And we need to strive to comprehend the greatness of God. I read about a custom around Christmas time that took place in England many, many years ago. The poor of the village were allowed to go around the town with bowls, and they would beg for bread and from other foods from the wealthy. And the rule was that those who possessed resources had to fill these bowls to the brim. And so the wisest of the poor, you know what they did? They brought very large bowls to the door because they knew that whatever the size of the bowl, it would be filled. Church, I think when it comes to God and it comes to our prayer life, we need to make sure that we're bringing big bowls to God, because our God is a God who does not overpromise. And he's a God who does not underdeliver. So when it comes to prayer, we realize we can all pray more than we do. We realize that we can pray bigger prayers than we do. Think about the current challenges across America and across the world. They are extraordinary. And church, together we need to respond with a commitment of extraordinary prayer and cooperation. We need each other. We need God's power like never before. How can any of us dismiss the ongoing tragedies in Afghanistan? It's one of the most dangerous countries for Christians to live, and now many are left behind. Some may have chosen to do so. Some may be there because they're trying to present the good news of Christ to their nation. And yet we know that not only are Christians under a great threat there, but we know that there are threats toward women, and those threats become even stronger. Refugees have been displaced and they need love and care and a new place to call home. Last Sunday, a sobering scene occurred at Dover Air Force Base as we watched and this scene personified the depths of the grief of our nation as the remains of 13 young American service members were brought home for burial. Grief continues to abound in our country. And church, that is why we need to pray in an extraordinary way. Only God can change the hearts of people. And so we need to call upon him in prayer. On the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, 150 mile an hour winds from Hurricane Ida hit the Louisiana coastline. Baptists are there. They are operating with an incredible commitment to providing disaster relief. You may not know this, but the disaster relief ministry of the SBC is the third largest in the nation, only to the Red Cross and Salvation Army. Church, we need to pray for the people in Louisiana and the surrounding states that have been impacted. We need to pray for our churches in that area. We need to pray for the relief personnel who are serving along the coast. These situations, they're dangerous and they're real. And then closer to home, relief efforts are continuing in Waverly, Tennessee. In a town with just over 4,000 people, 20 people died due to this tragedy. 270 homes have been destroyed. Grief and devastation are real in Waverly, Tennessee. So how can we not pray in an extraordinary way? I would suggest that we pray in a manner that is greater than normal, whatever normal is for you. Friend, we need to become extraordinary in our prayer. That means that if you pray 5 minutes a day, then I'm going to encourage you today and in the days coming that you will pray for 10 minutes. If you normally pray for an hour, then I'm going to ask you to pray for a few minutes more than that. Extraordinary prayer. Simply praying beyond what is our ordinary practice. Extraordinary prayer, it is the greatest need as we live in and as we try to navigate through these extraordinary times. We have an avalanche of trouble that is occurring. And we need to operate through this trouble by practicing extraordinary prayer. I believe that our God can do great things anywhere, at any time, and with anyone. And church, we need extraordinary prayer more than ever before. So if you believe in a mighty God, a God who responds to the prayers of his people, then I'm going to ask you this morning to stand with me. Stand on the promise of God. Do you stand if you believe in a God who hears the prayers of his people? This morning, as Chad leads us in our time of response, our time of commitment, I'm just going to encourage you to come and gather around this altar if you're able. And let's call upon our God to do extraordinary things. Would you pray with me? Father God, we stand this morning in your presence because we believe in a God who has all power, all authority. Father, nothing is too difficult for you. So God, we cry out to you like a child who is in danger. Lord, we cry out asking that you would move in a mighty way. God, work in our lives. Work in your churches. Father, the needs that we mentioned this morning in Afghanistan and around the globe. Father, for the people along the coast that have been impacted by the hurricane. Father, for folks in Tennessee struggling with the floods. God, there are so many people in our hearts this morning. People who are going through very real challenges. And God, our prayer is that in the midst of their challenge, that a very real God will show up. And God, that you will make yourself known in a way that brings glory and honor to the kingdom of Christ. Father, we pray these things in the most powerful name that we know. In Jesus' name, amen.